This is The Rush on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
Welcome back. It's Teddy Wilson and Richard Krause rolling with you till 6 p.m. And we're joined now for our Dollars and Cents segment with Brett House. He's a professor of economics at the Columbia Biz School and a fellow with the Monk School and Massey College. Basically a very smart cat who knows a lot about economics and finances. Hey, Brett, how are you? Are you there? Do we have Mr. House? Oh, I don't think we have him yet.
He's muted, so we're going to...
Okay.
Oops.
Oh, there
that,
you are.
Yeah.
That is proof that even 4 years into the post-pandemic shutdown, you can get yourself locked on mute without expecting it.
Zoom is new.
Well, I was about to go into waxing in detail about economics and finances, so I'm glad you unmuted because our listeners will be much better benefited by your knowledge, Brett. And let's start off by talking about inflation. The numbers just came in yesterday, so this is for February's inflation rate, and it was 2.8%, and that came in lower than a lot of expectations, didn't it, Brett?
Yeah, in fact, this is the second month in a row that we've had lower inflation numbers than most forecasters, including the Bank of Canada, anticipated. They were looking at an average for the first quarter of 2024 of a headline 3.2% number, and we're cruising more towards something like a 2.8. That's really welcome news. This is the continued decrease in inflationary pressures that their big rate hikes were precisely designed to engineer.
And those rate hikes, obviously there were 10 of them in a row. I believe that was historically unprecedented. We've now had 5 rate pauses from the Bank of Canada. I know their next rate announcement is April 10th. It seems like most folks who follow this stuff did not anticipate a rate decrease. Has that changed now that inflation has come in lower than expected? Like, could we see a rate cut on April 10th?
There's a slim chance that we could, particularly if some of the additional data that we'll get between now and then also come in quite soft. But I think it's very unlikely. The Bank of Canada has made it clear that they have a relatively high burden of proof that they want satisfied that inflation is durably and consistently down before they move ahead with a cut. The worst thing for a central banker is to cut and then have to reverse her himself. And so they kind of want to see the whites of the eyes of inflation being within the 1% to 3% target range before they're going to pull the trigger and cut.
Got it.
Brett, everything's expensive. Groceries have gone up. Sticker shock at the grocery stores, houses, everything's expensive. And now there's another report that has added one thing that I hadn't really thought about, but it makes perfect sense to me. It is expensive, more expensive in 2023, 2024, to be a Canadian pet parent than ever before. And there are like some kind of staggering numbers here. To have a dog, just the cost of pet essentials is between $460 to $3,100, $350 to $1,300 for cats, and that's food, supplies, medical expenses, other ongoing costs. Do you think that this leads to fewer people getting pets or, I mean, in worst case scenario, people getting rid of pets?
Well, it's a super interesting report because it does provide some benchmark numbers on what pet ownership costs for anyone who's contemplating it. And it also indicated in some of the interviews that folks who are feeling tight pocketbooks feel strongly enough about having their pets that very few people are going to give them away when costs go up like that. They're crimping on other things. So, you know, that is a real sign of some of the pain that we're seeing across the economy as economic activity slows down. The labor market is also cooling a bit, and we're seeing some slack emerge. It's interesting, you know, they don't talk in that report about the new phenomenon in one of the biggest growth areas in insurance, which is pet health insurance.
Right.
Because, you know, vet costs are not regulated generally, and they can be enormous. And so that's one of the biggest areas of pet costs that I didn't see in the tally they put together and is an interesting thing to consider as well added on.
But pet insurance can save you a lot of money. ultimately speaking, it's, I think it's worth doing. A friend of ours insured their dog and honestly has saved thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah. Vet bills can be bananas. Yeah. Brett, let's talk about some potentially big changes coming to Canada's banking system. Specifically, open banking could be coming to our country. What is open banking?
Well, this is something policymakers and the industry has talked about for a long time and moved glacially on. The idea is that it would enable bank clients to share their data with third-party organizations, financial planners, credit agencies, and others in a secure and reliable way. Right now, sometimes folks do in ways that are not terribly secure. And so the idea is to increase competition, increase the extent to which you can get advice and integrate all of your savings and financial products in one platform by getting a shared data source that is secure and reliable. But don't expect to see this anytime soon. We're still looking at a year or two before implementing regulations and some accompanying legislation come through. Canada ought to be one of the easiest places to do this because we only have five or six really big banks, so coordinating against them should be simpler here. But it's also one of the reasons why we probably haven't moved that quickly, because they haven't exactly ran at this idea.
Right.
What are some of the safeguards against financial crime that this kind of open banking, because it sounds to me less secure, but apparently one of the things that it provides safeguards against financial crime. How does it do that?
Well, that's where the devil is really in the details. And as all of us know, probably everyone has had a breach of financial data security at some point. And exactly how they put those into place is the subject of a lot of discussion right now.
Brett, I want to go back quickly to the inflation story. As we said, 2.8% was the inflation rate in February. A lot of folks were thinking it was going to be higher than that. It's down from 2.9% in January. But what drove the inflation rate down? Because before these numbers were announced, there was a lot of talk about fuel prices maybe driving it up above 3%. That didn't happen. But what pulled inflation down? Because just as a consumer, I mean, I feel like things are getting more expensive. So how come it came in lower than expected?
Well, you're right to point to gasoline prices as the real fly in the ointment. That was the one big part of the data dump that showed that pressures on oil prices from OPEC, the war in Ukraine, and global markets are keeping the cost of filling up your car pretty high. But we saw easing on grocery price pressures, on a number of services, as well on cell phone plans in Canada, one of the things almost everyone loves to hate. there was very broad-based decline or decreasing price increases in the rest of the data. So it was gasoline that was the one thing that stood out that, if anything, kept that overall number from falling more than it might have otherwise.
But grocery price, I mean, obviously grocery prices are ridiculous right now, but I guess the growth in prices slowed a little bit. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. It came down to about 2.5%, and it's been at 4% in some recent months. So, you know, a little less heat there, but it's important to remember when inflation comes down, it doesn't mean prices come down. Mm-hmm, it means prices are increasing less quickly than they previously were. The other big thing, you know, we just got are the summary minutes from the last Bank of Canada meeting, and it showed that they are talking about rate cuts. They didn't provide a hint when they're going to happen. Markets got kind of ahead of themselves and thought they might be coming, you know, in the first few months of this year. I don't think we're going to see them till July under that prudent kind of stance that the Bank of Canada is taking.
Brett, thank you so much.
Great to speak.
Thanks for having, or thanks for spending some time with us. That was Dollars and Cents with Brett House, professor of professional practice and economics at Columbia Business School and a fellow with the Public Policy Forum, the Monk School, and Massey College. He knows more about money than I do.
He does, and he's good at
everybody.
He's good at explaining it,
he
too.
He sure is.
Making us understand it. That opening open banking thing is very interesting. I want to keep following that. And I got to say, you know, as a variable rate mortgage holder, the fact that inflation is ticking down, Brett thinks maybe not until July we'd see a rate cut, but I